And gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagmann Report. Today is Thursday, October 5th, 2017, and we have a great show lined up for you today. We got a number of guests and important stories that we're going to get into. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us tonight as John Robertson is guest hosting, filling in for my father again tonight, who is doing some investigative work into the Las Vegas shooting, and he will have more on that later. We really aren't going to get into it right now, because there's a lot of things that are ongoing behind the scenes, and it'll be interesting to see what comes out of this. And we are going to be talking about Las Vegas tonight with a number of our guests. We have Alicia Powell coming on at 7:30. Then at 8 o'clock, James Wesley Rawls will be joining us, followed by U.S. Navy SEAL Matt Bracken in the third hour. And actually, Matt Bracken wrote a book that the first chapter of his book deals with a similar scenario to what we saw in Las Vegas, a mass shooting, and we'll have him explain about that when he comes on. Tonight we're going to start in the first segment. We are going to, as I said, get to Las Vegas, but we have a number of other stories that we want to talk about that are not getting enough attention that they deserve in the wake of the Las Vegas story. First, John, I'm going to bring you on. As this is the second night in a row you're running with us on the show, and it's great to have you here. We do the daily show each and every day, 2 to 3 p.m. on Global Star Channel 3, as well as on Blog Talk Radio, and you can catch it on Hagmann Report, but it's great to have you on Hagmann Report.
Well, Joe, thank you so much, and good evening, and God's blessings to everyone who has again chosen to join us this evening. We do appreciate your time and your trust in us as we move forward through these crazy times. Vegas, 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 the title of tonight's show, Lawyers, Guns, and Money. And we will be joined in the bottom half of the hour by Alicia Powell, who comes to us courtesy of our friends at WorldNet Daily. James Wesley Rawls in hour two, and Joe, I'm really excited for that one. And then, of course,
yeah.
And then in hour three, we thought, why not U.S. Navy SEAL Matt Bracken? We're going to bring him in and see what he's got to say. But it is certainly an honor to sit in for Doug this evening, and keep Doug in your prayers. Doug is mired in an investigation right now that is complex. It is scary. It has an OPSEC quality about it where there are those of us at Team Hagmann that aren't even 100% aware of exactly what he's working on. So prayers for Doug tonight. Joe?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what comes out of his behind the scenes investigations. And before we go any further into Las Vegas, I want to touch on some of these stories that really are important stories, and because of Las Vegas aren't getting the attention they deserve. One, three U.S. Army Special Operations Commandos were killed in Niger, Africa yesterday. And it goes on to say that three were killed Wednesday when they came under hostile fire in the West African country. The U.S. military said the commandos, who were Green Berets, were likely attacked by militants from Al-Qaeda in the Islamic region of North Africa, the North African branch of the extremist group in southwestern Niger near the border with Mali, the AP said. Two U.S. commandos who were wounded in the attack were taken to the capital of Niamey and were in stable condition, according to the AP. The U.S. Africa Command said that the forces were a joint U.S. Nigerian patrol when they were attacked. The U.S. forces are in the country to provide training and security assistance to Niger's military in their fight against extremists. President Trump was notified of the attack Wednesday night as he traveled to Washington from Las Vegas. The White House said Trump had been meeting with the victims of the mass shooting that killed 58 people on Sunday night, along with first responders and doctors. So, again, U.S. personnel deployed in many places around the world. Here they are in an active mission working with local security and military forces there to fight the extremism and Al-Qaeda factions in Africa, and 3 U.S. Army Special Commandos killed. Two were wounded that survived, and I expect to see efforts there being ramped up as anywhere U.S. personnel is killed around the world. It's usually met, at least under normal presidential administrations, with a heavy response.
Amen to that. The key to what you just said, Joe, being under normal presidential administrations, and I pray God that as we move forward with President Donald J. Trump, that we are once again the type of Americans where if you hit us, we will hit you back. And yet, at the same time, I pray to God that we will be the type of Americans who have the decency to declare war before we go to war. You know, Joe, as I listened to your comments, and I was aware of this story, of course, when it broke, it brought to mind a series of books I read about 10 years ago. The titles are misnomers, but they were written by Robert Kaplan. That's Kaplan with a K. The first was called Imperial Grunts, and the follow-up was called Hog Pilots and Blue Water Grunts. Interestingly, Kaplan, the author, also wrote Black Hawk Down, and he wrote a great book that I read about the Iran hostage crisis. But back to the two books I mentioned. Strange titles, granted, Imperial Grunts and Hog Pilots and Blue Water Grunts. But what it talked about, Joe and listeners, is all over the world, we have special operations forces that are very small contingents, 100 personnel or less. And they're typically under the command of what they call an Iron Major, sometimes even a captain. And these Iron Majors, or these captains, are in charge of a company size or less, even platoon size, of special forces. They work in these forward operating bases. And what's key to understand about these mid-level officers, Joe, and I think this may be one of those situations, is that they have the type of empowerment, the type of authority, and the type of diplomatic capability to work with the indigenous people of the area of operation they're in. And they work all over Africa, the Mongolian steppe, the Siberian wilderness. I mean, they're everywhere. Anyway, that's Robert Kaplan, and the first book, Imperial Grunts, certainly worth reading if you're interested in how our spec ops community works.
Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully we will again see a response to this, as there have been crackdowns in the same region from France just a few years ago. Many are saying that this was some kind of revenge attack for that, but hopefully we will see an increase in the amount of Al-Qaeda troops that are able to function in West Africa decrease. This is a story that's very interesting, and with the again, the Las Vegas shooting has not gotten any or nearly a minuscule fraction of the attention it deserves. I didn't see this till today, and I'm pretty surprised at this. There was a church shooting, and at a Nashville church in the end of September, on September 24th, I believe. I just read it here. Where a man, an African-American man, walked into a church and killed one person, shot 7 others, and said he did so as revenge for the Dillon roof shootings. I'm not sure how many people heard about this. It definitely went way under my radar. And this article from the Tennessean.com says 2 people shot by a lone gunman at a Nashville church last month have been released from the hospital. A hospital spokesman said today, one other victim remains hospitalized in stable condition at Vanderbilt University Medical Center. Peggy Spann, the wife of minister at Brunette Chapel Church of Christ, remains hospitalized, said Mike McPherson. The brazen September 24th shooting left 1 dead and 7 parishioners seriously injured. And the story goes as follows. The shooter, identified as Emmanuel Sampson, a 25-year-old Rutherford County man, accidentally shot himself after he was confronted. Okay, I'm sorry, I jumped ahead in the story here. A man, I don't have his name, which is probably, in hindsight, I should have got first, walked into this church and shot 8 people, killing 1, wounding 7 others, including the pastor. And nowhere really did I hear this story, and the shooter was identified as Emmanuel Sampson. I apologize for that. And as I said before the show, you know, anytime there's a shooting in a church, regardless of color or motivation here in this country, we should, it's always an important story and we should hear about it. Now, I wonder what it was that let this story go under the radar, because this happened days before Las Vegas. And from what I read into it just a little bit today, or what I saw of it today, they made it sound like it happened on the same day, but it actually happened a week prior to the Las Vegas shooting. And we didn't really hear much about this.
Yeah, we did, as in we didn't hear anything about this. Joe, this wasn't underreported. This was non-reported. This is from USA Today. Again, Emmanuel Cadega Sampson. I just pose this question to our listeners and viewers. Perhaps the perpetrator doesn't fit the convenient mainstream media narrative. I have no idea what this man's motives were, but what I do know is that as Christians, we need to be in prayer big time for the Burnett Chapel Church of Antioch in Nashville.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, the shooter cited, apparently he left a note in his car, and the reporting is not clear, as it even says in its article here. It's not clear what Sampson, who is black, is alleged to have written about the roof shooting, or whether his note contained other details that might also speak to a motivation or state of mind. Metro Nashville police have not commented on the note. And we just got an email here, and I want to make sure I get this right. According to a listener of the show, that this was potentially a Somali refugee. Okay, that they heard it was a Somali refugee. And that's pretty interesting. And a week before the Las Vegas shooting took place. So this was definitely way underreported, a way underreported story. Because as you said, it doesn't fit the narrative. So
it doesn't fit the narrative. Andrew Nels, writing for the Tennessean. Now, I am sourcing this from the USA Today, usatoday.com. It says, AP reporters did not view the note, but it was summarized in an investigative report circulating among law enforcement. It, quote, "In sum, and in no way verbatim, the note referenced revenge or retaliation for Dylan Roof, the white supremacist who killed 9 black worshipers at South Carolina Church in 2015, and has since been sentenced," a little bit of a tongue twister there, "has since been sentenced to death. The report did not cite what precisely Sampson is alleged to have written about the roof shooting, or whether his note contained other important details that might also speak to the motivation, state of mind, behind his recent crime." Joe, I'm afraid what this comes down to is an issue of black and white crime.
Revenge and race, yeah. And
I'm afraid so.
If he was a refugee, that just adds, you know, another, you know, we when we break down these shootings and events, there are a number of things that we look at, and the motivation, you know, seeing that this was somebody from Somalia who was a refugee and also left a note that was critical of the Dylan Roof shooting, it's definitely politically motivated here. And I wonder if this is something he came up with on his own, or if it was talked about in a group of people and he just decided to take action. But with everything that's going on, it'll probably take a lot of digging, and I doubt we'll get much more information. I'm going to go back and look through this story, because obviously almost 2 weeks worth of news has passed by since this happened. So there should be a substantial amount of information out there that we can gather on this case. Moving forward, I wanted to make sure we hit this case. We have an interesting story out of Pennsylvania, and a congressman named Tim Murphy. Now, apparently, Tim Murphy was a big pro-life supporter, and he sent a resignation letter saying he would resign on October 21st to House Speaker Paul Ryan in a statement that Paul Ryan said this afternoon. "This afternoon, I received a letter of resignation from Congressman Tim Murphy, effective October 21st. It was Dr. Murphy's decision to move on to the next chapter of his life, and I support it. We thank him for his many years of tireless work on mental health issues here in Congress and his service as a Naval Reserve officer. Here's the interesting part. Why did Murphy resign? Well, apparently he had an affair with a woman, and he went on to tell her and make her have an abortion, or he told her he needed to have an abortion. And it's interesting because he built much of his career in Congress on public pro-life stance, but according to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Murphy acted entirely differently in private. You have zero issue posting your pro-life stance all over the place when you had no issue asking me to abort your unborn child just last week when we thought that was one of the options, wrote Shannon Edwards, a forensic psychologist with whom Murphy was having an extramarital affair.
Oops. So what we have here is the good Congressman Murphy, representative from Pennsylvania, got caught.
Yeah, definitely. And it's interesting, I heard today on the way in that he was not going to resign, but must have had a change of heart after issuing the resignation letter, and Paul Ryan announced it today. You talk about hypocrisy in politics, and this guy being so, you know, was he pro-life for political purposes? Was it something he really believed in? I have a hard time saying that he would really believe in it if he asked a mistress to have an abortion, or if anybody he got pregnant with one of his kids he asked to abort. It just doesn't compute with somebody who actually is pro-life. And I would venture to say that he took this stance on at one point as a political stance, just choosing sides of the aisle or trying to stay along party lines, but never really cared that much about the issue, to be emphatic about it one way or the other. At least that's what we see from his words and his behavior.
Well, Scripture tells us that we will be known by the fruits, by the fruits of our labor. And in the case of Congressman Murphy, let's extrapolate this out a little bit, Joe. I mean, is what he purportedly suggested to his mistress any different than if he suggested to his mistress that they murder her rich uncle for his life insurance policy? I mean, you are either pro-life or you are pro-death. That's what it comes down to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most of our listeners agree, it is not a Monday, Wednesday, Friday kind of thing. You either believe that life begins at conception and that is a defenseless unborn child developing in the mother's womb, or you are under the satanic delusion that about half of our country exists under, and you do not believe that to be the case. And, you know, I frankly have zero empathy for Congressman Murphy. He was having an extramarital affair. And you know, I don't want to preach here too much, but I used to see this a lot in L.A., in Hollywood. It never ceased to amaze me, the men that I would work with, who, through their flirtatious behavior and the way that they would treat members of the opposite sex on set, they seemed very willing to compromise everything, literally, Joe, everything that they had worked for over 20, 30 years. Guys, you mess around on your wife, you could lose everything.
Mm-hmm.
You can lose everything. You could lose your marriage, your house, your kids, your faith, everything. I'm sorry, Congressman Murphy. Was it worth it? By the way, his resignation ends his reign serving Pennsylvania's 18th district since 2003. Hit us up at studio at hagmanandhagman.com. 2003, isn't it time for term limits, Joe? I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's 14 years. Back to the story of the church shooting, and J.K., thank you for sending the clarification. Deadly Tennessee church shooting, Sudanese immigrant arrested, FBI launches civil rights investigation. This article has a little bit more information. The man identified as 25-year-old Emmanuel Sampson was an immigrant from Sudan, and they say he has been here for two decades, and he's suspected of bringing two pistols and a mask to the predominantly white Brunette Chapel Church of Christ in Antioch, southeast of Nashville, before opening fire. And the Metropolitan Nashville Police Department tweeted that Sampson had been released from the hospital and will be charged with murder and attempted murder. And he went on social media. Photos from a Facebook page under Samson's name seemed to show him lifting weights and showing off his physique. A post earlier Sunday read, "Everything you've ever doubted or make to believe as false is real," and vice versa. And he made some other interesting social media statements. And apparently he shot himself. That's why he was in the hospital. That's what I had a problem with that other report. It didn't clarify that.
So what, so he missed?
Well, no, he killed one person and shot seven others, but apparently shot himself in the foot, if I...
Well,
it's unclear whether he shot himself or the gun unintentionally discharged during his scuffle with Engel, who was the man who approached him.
Well, either way, I hope that shot in the foot hurt good and proper. Joe, let's switch gears. We covered something on the Hagman Daily Show today that I think we'd be remiss if we didn't touch on here tonight. And that is, we're starting to put the pieces of the whole Vegas puzzle together enough, Joe, that we're being able to begin to follow the money to a degree. Joe, you brought a piece on the Hagman Daily Show today about all of the stock in MGM that was sold right before this tragedy. By the way, MGM owns Mandalay Bay, the casino, of course, from the 32nd floor that the perpetrator Paddock shot and killed 59 people. But Joe, what is going on with we saw this happen before 9/11 with both the airlines as well as the World Trade Center. How do these guys know to sell short right before these things happen?
Okay, there's a few interesting stories, and apparently, from what I can see, there was at least two separate occasions where this guy sold a number of shares. One in September, one in end of July, August, but the latest one in September was he sold almost 300,000 shares of his MGM resort. Casino stocks fall, led by Mandalay Bay owner MGM after Las Vegas shooting. And we know that after this shooting that there were a number of casino stocks that fell after the massacre on Sunday. And MGM Resorts International, as you said, John, owns Mandalay Bay and the hotel also Wynn Resorts slipped and Las Vegas Sands. They all fell anywhere from 1 to 6% on Monday after the market opened, and a number of MGM shares were sold just prior to the shooting. Now, we've seen, as you said, on 9/11, you know, Larry Silverstein and the insurance to Michael Chertoff, the Christmas Day bomber, owning a portion of the company Rapiscan that was so conveniently implemented at all U.S. airports after the attempted shoe bombing and all the inconsistencies with that story. We kind of revisited that today on our show. And now you have this where I haven't confirmed this yet, but also a Saudi Arabia owner, a major owner of the casino, also sold shares of the stock, as well as this James Murren, who is the CEO, sold a number of shares. But there could be a hundred reasons why these people sold the shares other than some kind of foreknowledge of the shooting, or it could be exactly that. It's not something that we really, unless you can prove that information was given, you know, from point A to point B, it's not something that you can really make an issue of. It's just very interesting to note the behavior of some of these people.
Well, and to also note the dollar signs. I don't know at what point, Joe, the SEC, the Securities Exchange Commission, gets involved, but one of these pre-shooting, it's not fair for me to say that. One of these sales, these transactions that occurred prior to the crime in Vegas, was for $10.24 million. That's quite a bit of money, and I would tend to think that $10 million would raise some eyebrows, would it not?
Well, you know, and you're right. The MGM Resorts International, Maureen, sold almost 260,000 shares of the business's stock in a transaction on Thursday, September 7th. The stock was sold at an average price of $34.19 for a total value of $8.8 million. The chief executive officer now owns 71,000 shares. So he sold off almost 75 to 80% of his holdings. And this, but this is not the first time he's done this. He has also, both on July 31st and on August 9th, as well as September 8th, sold off shares of the stock. Both the other two times, there were over 50,000 shares. So either this guy's really hard up for money, which I find hard to believe, or he's doing something, you know, that, trying to move money around to start. I mean, there could be a million reasons why to do this, but it looks like he was, at least during the summer, on three separate occasions, in, you know, July, August, and September, sold us a significant amount of stock,
yeah,
leaving him with almost virtually none left.
Yeah, the lion's share. Joe, just quickly, you mentioned Michael Chertoff, of course, former head of Department of Homeland Security. And we have a guest who has agreed to join us here in the next 2 weeks. Her name is Stephanie Sledge. She is the editor-in-chief and founder of a new blog that I've enjoyed, thegovernmentrag.com.
Thegovernmentrag.com,
Stephanie Sledge, and she's got some great investigative pieces on Chertoff, the money, the body scanners, and really ultimately the loss of our liberty.
All right. We are up against our break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by WorldNet Daily journalist and investigative reporter Alicia Powell. She'll be with us for the next segment. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to this edition of the Hagmann Report.
Visit HagmannReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families who struggle to maintain normal lives in a world where conspiracy theory and Bible prophecy collide. T.C. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, readers of End Times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced. Blue Wink Reviews boldly states, fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Parada's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
Uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable for the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA. Go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagmann. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagmann takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmannandHagmann.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
We'll be right back.
welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to our second segment on this Thursday edition of the Hagman Report. Alicia Powell, investigative journalist at WorldNet Daily, will be joining us shortly, and we're going to be getting into a number of issues with her. And we have, again, James Wesley Rawls and Matt Bracken for hours two, James Wesley Rawls in hours two and Matt Bracken in hour three. And we're going to deal with some of the logistics and whatnot from, with their expertise from, Las Vegas. But we were just talking here during the break about the windows at the hotel there that were smashed out. And in one of the photos, you can see a small, sledgehammer. Is maybe 6-inch handle and a sledgehammer, top. There that were used to bust out the windows. And reading today, I read that the windows were 600 or 800 pound hurricane proof windows. And we were talking about, you know, how that, how functional that would be to, you know, shoot it out versus having to use some kind of tool to smash the windows out. Now it's obvious from the photos that it wasn't done with any type of precision, that there was obviously some kind of smashing that was done. As you can see, the very odd shape in which they broke, as glass usually does. But John, you were talking about dealing with the tempered glass, with windows that were real big like that, and it almost makes you wonder if it was tested out somewhere first, or if you had to figure out exactly what you needed to break those windows, or if you could just get a regular hammer and, you know, go up there and just keep hitting them until they bust out. I don't know.
Well,
I mean, this guy methodically planned it out so much, you'd think that he would have a rhyme and reason for everything he did.
Here's an experiment you can try at home.
Yeah.
take a standard 24-ounce framing hammer and hit your car windshield a few times with it. And it's going to take a good 2-3 blows to get through just that little quarter-inch piece of tempered glass with a 25-ounce hammer. Let's call it a 6-pound hand maul.
Do you think those are shatterproof, like in the hotels?
Tempered glass is there's no quick way to explain it, but basically it's layered, and it has sheets of a plastic material that keeps the glass homogeneous. It keeps it cohesive. So were you to put, for example, several rounds of rifle ammo through the tempered glass, essentially what you would get is a spider effect, some clouding, and then just basically the hole would be the diameter of the caliber of the projectile, pretty much. And I'll tell you, you know, you got to give this creep Paddock credit. It takes some guts to stand on the 32nd floor and start swinging a little mini hand maul sledge at a window that's essentially a wall about 300 feet above the concrete. But anyway.
Yeah. And we're going to get into, again, in hours two and three, we're going to get into more of this later, because apparently there was an elaborate escape route planned, which, according to reports, couldn't even have been carried out by him alone. So we're going to look at that more later. We have with us investigative journalist Alicia Powell, and she has been a frequent guest on our show, a great investigative reporter with WorldNet Daily. She's written for numerous outlets. She's got an extensive work history. Alicia, welcome back to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me again. I apologize. I have a brand new computer that's about 2 days old, and I've had trouble downloading Skype. So I am talking to you from my iPhone.
Okay. Well, we can work with that, and it's great to have you.
Thanks. Nice to be back.
Alicia, welcome to the show. You know, Alicia and I had an opportunity to speak offline this morning, and hadn't had an opportunity to talk about the news too much for several weeks. And I said to her, you know, it'd be so fun to work with you on air at some point. And guess what? We got to do that exact thing tonight.
Synchronicity.
There you go. Well, we love our friends over at WorldNet Daily. And Alicia Powell has been such a blessing to the Hagman Report over the past 6-8 months. She always brings in a fresh perspective. She's young. She's aggressive. She's working in D.C. She's in the Beltway. She's on Capitol Hill, and she's fearless. So, Alicia, what's going on? What's at the top of your radar tonight?
I mean, we've all been kind of horrified and inundated with all the details of the Las Vegas shooting, as we discussed earlier, John, earlier today. And the first thing that came to my mind when the shooting happened is, what drugs was this guy on? Because all of these mass shooters, they have, most of them have been prescribed some kind of pharmaceutical drugs. And so it turns out he was on Valium, or what's known as diazepam. That's not really, it's a drug that's kind of used by lots of people, and it's not going to have too much kind of homicidal, cause too much homicidal ideation or suicidal ideation. So I'm not going to attribute this drug to what he did. But he was, in fact, on pharmaceutical, on some kind of psychotropic drug, and that's just another variable, another clue to try to figure out what this guy's motive was. 3 days later, we still don't know what his motive was. Was he a member of ISIS or trying to be a jihadist? Was he, you know, out to shoot Trump supporters, considering it was people who were going to country music concert that he attacked? It's just overwhelming, and this mass shootings, it's just an epidemic, and it's not the guns, because we've seen terrorists use hammers and you know, with their attacks. So the fact that Democrats are immediately calling for gun control like they always do during these mass shootings is probably fueling more conspiracy theory that this was actually a setup for gun controls, Democrats to push gun control. That's what I've been seeing around that. And, you know, we've got to stay away from the conspiracy theories and wait for the facts, but we still don't know. I think we're all exhausted, and we're eager to find out what was exactly behind this guy Paddock's motives, his intent.
Yeah, Alicia, we've seen a lot of information about this guy, but none of it really relevant to adding up to a motive, as you said. And the, you know, the volume, it's interesting to note. I agree with you, but I don't think it's a deciding factor, since apparently this guy's been, they say his behavior has been off for a number of months, but he only just started taking it a few months ago. And there are a number of other, the guy had a bunch of money, very secretive, very private, a little social media footprint. We're still trying to figure out if those were scrubbed before they were even, before this or as this event unfolded. There's a lot more questions than we have answers today, and I think the lack of motive, the lack of understanding, and the nature of the attack was so horrific that this is going to stay on people's minds for a while, specifically until we find out an answer to a lot of the questions as to the reasons why it happened.
Right. I mean, you know, I'll just say he did take Valium. He started taking it in June 2016. So he's taken it for a while. But it really is just delving into what creates a serial killer. There's just another aspect of it. They all have these pharmaceutical medications. And you can say that it's just Valium, but different drugs have different effects on different people. And perhaps you become more inclined gravitated towards evil when you are just not fully alert mentally.
Well, it could very well be.
You know, Alicia, yeah. you chose an interesting verbiage there, gravitating toward evil. And that's something that, unfortunately, obviously the mainstream media is not going to cover this, and that's why we encourage our listeners and viewers to obviously engage with us every evening here at the Hagmann Report, but also go to WorldNet Daily, WND.com, and really bookmark the site, because writers like Alicia and her counterparts at WorldNet Daily do look at situations like this from that type of perspective. And what happened is this is clearly a situation where, for whatever reason, whether this man was just a gambling addict taking Valium who decided he wanted to shoot a bunch of Trump supporters and country western fans, or whether he was on the extreme polarity, a CIA cutout who was built through MK Ultra from birth to commit this crime. Either way, something made this man gravitate toward evil. Satan won this round.
Right, and I think it's just insane that the Democrats just immediately go for gun control. They don't want to talk about radical Islamic extremism. They don't want to talk about mental illness or how the pharmaceutical industry is corrupt. And all of those are variables that need to be examined when we're trying to, you know, end this epidemic of mass shootings that we're seeing become, you know, it's happening more and more. Maybe not 35, 50 people getting killed, but on a regular basis, someone takes a firearm or a weapon and just goes out and does some horrendous acts. I think the website, it's documented very well on the web. of these, well, that's the angle I've been looking at. The pharmaceutical, the mass shooters who have basically ended up in terrible predicaments after taking medications. What's Paddock's motive? We don't know. But that's something that we shouldn't cross off when it comes to these mass shootings.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And, you know, again, the amount of damage that this man was able to unleash in just a very short amount of time, there are still there's some great articles asking important questions on Zero Hedge, on John Rappaport's NoMoreFakeNews.com that I read today that really sum it up. And as you said, the conspiracy theories, you know, people will like to say that, you know, this didn't happen, it wasn't a real event, to any variation of, you know, more than one shooters, and it was, you know, there were crisis actors. But everything that I've seen tells me that this was a real event. Now, how many people, John Rappaport has a great piece out that details how this man, even with precision accuracy, couldn't have fired, you know, 575 accurate hit shots within the 10 minutes that he had to shoot. But all this evidence will continue to be looked at. And I want to ask you this, Alicia. Do you believe that there is some kind of tension or something going on between the Las Vegas Sheriff's Department and the FBI?
Perhaps. I mean, I haven't followed every detail of the case. I've been writing about other things because lots of things fall under the radar when the nation's attention is just focused on the shooter and the mass shooting. But I don't know. Perhaps.
Okay. Well, Alicia, what else have you been writing about? What else has been on your radar?
Well, the House, I believe yesterday, passed a bill that's going to ban abortions after 20 weeks. And the Democrats, as usual, are saying, well, you're taking away a woman's right of reproductive rights, mm-hmm. and you're implying that women are not smart enough to make the proper decisions about their body. And it's just like, no. And Republicans, they want to take away women's right to abortion. Well, after 20 weeks, you know, you're 6 months pregnant, you still want to have an abortion. It's also more insanity from the left. This is a debate I've been having with people, leftists, for years, I guess a decade, about how Republicans want to, you know, just go to the women's march and those people wearing their pink hats. And that's all that they talk about. You know, Trump wants to grab him by the woo-ha, and he wants to take away abortion rights. Well, no. It's late-term abortions, partial birth abortions, and it should be restricted. So the House passed this bill yesterday, and we'll see where it goes. It's the first step in putting an end to late-term abortions, which I think 66% of the nation, according to Queenie Eckpol, agrees with. Ending late-term abortion. There's really just no excuse. And the bill, you know, makes exceptions for people who are victims of rape or incest, or if it's going to save the life of a mother.
And Alicia, we know that with all due respect to these statistics, that those statistics are so minuscule as to almost be not even noteworthy per se. I mean, the victims of incest, rape, etc. Yes, they do occur, but when you look at them on a national spectrum, it's so minuscule as to almost not even warrant a talking point in Congress. Now, we also know that when we talk about late-term abortion, forgive me, I'm going to tell a quick story here. About 5 years ago, I was running a crew at Disney, and one of the guys on my crew, his wife was pregnant, and they'd been married about a year, and he was super excited, and he asked if he could get off early the following day because she was going to have her first sonogram, and I was excited for him, and I was like, absolutely. So, you know, he took off early that day. The very next morning, Alicia, he came in all aglow. He looked like a little kid. His face was all red, and he goes, John, come here. You got to hear this. He pulled out his iPhone, probably like an iPhone 4 back then, and he played for me at 30 days the beating of the baby's heart, and what it sounded like was swishing water back and forth. But Alicia, we now have the technology to hear a beating heart at 30 days. So
I believe there was a video that went viral, I think, sometime last year, where you see a baby that's about a few months old in the womb clapping its hands to music. I think a baby at 6 months old is Amen. About the size of a cantaloupe. It can scratch. It's developing. And, you know, at what point do you... We saw Hillary Clinton say on the debate stage during the election that it's okay to abort babies at 9 months. You can go at 9 months along and have an abortion. So, I mean, it's just incredible. And good, we see the GOP making progress on some issues, some promises that they've made over the years after we saw Planned Parenthood admit on hidden camera that they sell aborted baby parts. And we saw Kermit Gosnell, you know, killing babies that are 8, 9 months fetuses that are 8, 9 months old by snipping their spinal cords. I mean, it's just, why are people proponents of this? You're either a blind follower or you have some kind of malice, evil in your heart. To use that phrase again, evil.
Yeah.
There is a war between good and evil going on.
No, Alicia, you're very right. And I'm not sure how much you've covered this, but we were talking about in the first segment the Pennsylvania Congressman Tim Murphy, who was a pro-life guy for his 14 years in Congress. And then he had an affair with his mistress who got pregnant, and he asked her to have an abortion. Well, she turned around and put it out there on social media that this guy...
Right, now he's had to resign. I believe I saw that earlier today.
Yeah, he's going to be resigning October 21st. And my question is, you know, was this guy taking up a pro-life position, part of the party politics, or just as a political stance? Because obviously this is not what he really believed in his heart. Otherwise, he would have never asked his mistress to have an abortion. So we, you know.
Well, I mean, I think we can see pretty clearly that a lot of the Republican lawmakers we elect are not fulfilling. They're not true to their word. We've seen this. We've just seen the Russia probe, for example, or, you know, they're just letting President Trump, the Democrats, get away with trying to impeach the president over lies. That he rigged the election with Russia, while simultaneously the DNC rigged the primaries against Bernie Sanders, and no one talks about it, and all the other corruption that was revealed through the emails WikiLeaks released during the election. They just get away with it. So, you know, back to your point, it's not surprising that people are hypocrites in Washington, and they say whatever they need to say to get elected. And I think that's why a lot of Americans have faith in Donald Trump, that he might speak, you know, off the cuff, and he's not tailored, but he seems like someone who's going to keep his word. And speaking of keeping his word, we have the first implementation, or the GOP or a Senate committee, a House committee, passed legislation today that's going to start the construction of the wall. $10 billion was agreed upon by a House committee to start building the wall.
Did they build a prototype, do you know?
And I believe there's like 6 different prototypes that are being constructed this week for the wall.
Okay, interesting. I did read about
that
today.
Exciting. Yeah, that's one of the things I covered today. And you can check it out at WND.com. I don't know if the article's up yet.
Okay.
Absolutely. We want to encourage all of our listeners and viewers to really visit WND.com every day. Joe and I use it for our show prep for the Hagman Daily Show pretty much every day. And again, it's such a pleasure to work with people like Alicia Powell. Alicia, I want to ask you a question, from your personal point of view. You're a writer, you're an investigative journalist, and you're working in the Beltway every day. Aside from the symbolism of the wall and a campaign promise kept, which I think is very, very important. I think it's crucial in President Trump's first year that he get either the wall done or the taxes done or Obamacare taken care of. He's got to bring one of those three in. But in your opinion, Alicia Powell, do you think that the wall is really going to really curb illegal immigration, or do you think it's more symbolic?
I think both. Okay, first of all, Donald Trump's rhetoric over the last year has already curbed illegal immigrants. People don't want to cross that border after they've heard Americans chant, you know, build the wall, and Donald Trump has been taking this hardline stance against illegal immigration since day one of his campaign. So I believe data shows that less illegals are attempting to cross the border. But of course, a physical barrier on the border is going to make it a lot more difficult for people to come across. Or they had to dig a tunnel underneath that wall, or, you know, so I think it's symbolic. And that symbolism, you know, needs to be, that symbolism is important. But, I mean, just practically, who's going to try to hop a wall? You know, you see them hopping over the fence. There's so many videos of illegal immigrants hopping over this big gate. Well, let them try to hop over this big, beautiful wall. I mean, it's definitely going to stop illegal immigration. It's going to curtail illegal immigration.
Yeah. No, and we've seen, you know, the partial fences where they cut holes in or dig underneath it. As long as there are other layers of security measures, as well as, you know, this wall, it should be pretty effective in, you know, a lot of the drug smuggling and people smuggling that happens on the U.S.-Mexico border. Do we know where the funding for this wall is coming from yet?
Well, unfortunately, it's not coming from Mexico yet. It's going to come from taxpayer dollars, and that's what Democrats are charging the president with, deception, because the money's going to come from the taxpayer dollar and not Mexico. But I say it's progress. We have to start somewhere. And obviously Republicans are not making it easy, and Democrats are not making it easy, and nothing's getting done. And months are going along, and everything's getting stalled. Like you said, from Obamacare to, you know, ending taxpayer funding for abortion to just everything that Trump's campaigned on. He's really having to struggle his way through to get anything done. You gotta start somewhere. Okay, Obamacare repeal might not be perfect, but at least it's a start.
Mm-hmm.
No one wants to agree on it because it's not perfect. Well, it would have ended taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. It's a start, and that seems to be the way things have to get done. You've got to at least make one crack in the wall in the room of darkness for light to come in. And, well, it's hopeful today. We see it this week, as a matter of fact. You know, despite the mass shooting that's kind of in the front of all of our minds, there are steps that are being taken that are going to implement the campaign promises that Trump made, which is why we elected him.
Yeah, and with all the taxpayer dollars in the billions and trillions that are thrown away and wasted by our bloated government, it'll be interesting to see the response of something that many of his base actually want to be implemented, and the use of taxpayer dollars for that. I don't think any one of his supporters who does pay taxes will mind seeing their tax dollars going to something that actually is going to function to serve the better the national security interest. And
right, our taxpayer dollars are going towards pork spending all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I believe just a week ago I wrote about how the National Institute of Health is using our taxpayer dollars to study why transgenders are stressed out. Or there's lots of information about how our taxpayer dollars are being wasted. They're going to be taken out of our paychecks or, you know, our income anyway. Let it go towards that wall, because yeah, illegal immigration is ultimately detrimental to the economy, as data also shows.
Alicia, why are transgenders stressed out?
Good question.
Any ideas?
I don't want to be politically incorrect, but I think you're going to have a hard time struggling to be in the other sex's body and wanting everyone to fool everyone into thinking that you're born in the wrong body, because that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah.
Sometimes we've got to take these matters and lighten them up and laugh a little bit, you know, seriously laugh to keep from crying.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, we only got about a minute and a half left, Alicia. Anything that we didn't touch on today that you've been checking out behind the scenes that you want to get into? Example, you mentioned the Russia
Facebook.
Facebook. Okay, let's go there.
Facebook. So we talk about the Democrats rigging the election against Bernie Sanders, and Trump rigged the election with Russia by hacking DNC emails. Well, what about the fact that Facebook right now is being investigated by the FBI and Special Counsel Mueller because they, well, not only ran Russian ads during the election, Russian ads that were actually more left-leaning, were actually more promoting a Democratic candidate or liberal issues. That's what the information shows about the Russian ads so far, not that they were helping Donald Trump. But also, WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange leaked emails last week, which show Mark Zuckerberg and other Facebook CEO executives were strategizing and collaborating with top member, with John Podesta and other members of the Clinton campaign so how they could secure a Democratic win in the 2016 election. So, I mean, and we already see, we're really seeing a censorship. As much as we have so much information in the world, so much access to information, Facebook is censoring conservatives. Google's censoring conservatives. YouTube is censoring the conservative viewpoint. And we need to break up these monopolies somehow.
No, you're absolutely right. Alicia Powell, thank you so much for joining us again today. A great segment, a lot of great stuff, and we look forward to having you back on in the near future. Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Alicia, thank you so much. Folks, go to WorldNetDailyWND.com, where Alicia posts pretty much every day.
Absolutely. We'll be right back after this. Don't go anywhere.
Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. But what Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right, you need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super G-Mag Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greenovative.com. That's greenovative.com. Folks, in these uncertain times, it just makes sense to have a sustainable backup method for accomplishing one of life's most important tasks, and that's preparing food. This is the way to go. There is nothing better than a Minuteman rocket stove from MinutemanStove.com. We all need a way to cook and a method to process water. I mean, think about it. Think about the many things that could happen to you. Minuteman rocket stove can provide your family or group the perfect solution. It's small, lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. It's small, smokeless, fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. Because it's so efficient, it cuts down on your wood gathering and processing chores to a tenth what would be required if cooking the old-fashioned way over an open fire. So don't rely on gas or fuel stoves. Prepare your family. Prepare for yourself. Order a Minuteman rocket stove today. It's going to make bad times much better. Folks, MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. Need I say more?
You should have a Minuteman, the survival stove, and an ammo can.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com, PreciousTimberProfits.com.